think so too.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Sharon Bowie and Mr. Mark Rice, and we're talking about incarceration. And, you know, Mr. Bowie, you were talking about before break, if people are just joining us, I was talking about the fact that, you know, that I you know, didn't know that there were psychiatrists and psychologists in the prisons to address, you know, the many issues that, that people have. I know there can't be a whole lot of them when you look at them comparatively to the amount of people who are incarcerated. But clearly, as you stated, there are some who are, people are looking to get that. It exists. So I stand corrected if that's the case. But go ahead. You were saying before we went to break.
Well, yeah, it's not one of those gotcha things. What it is more like, I think that we waste resources. The prison, first of all, the prison budget is over $2 billion a year. So you are 100% correct when you talk about the resources that we are expending on something that is bearing almost zero fruit. So what I want to make sure, what I'm trying to do here is to say, look, if we can shift those resources to an area that's going to bear fruit, then we should. But in order to do that, we must know what we're already spending those resources on. So, yeah, there's a health services unit. There's a psychological services unit inside prisons, but these things aren't advertised. There's an educational unit inside prisons. You know, you can get a bachelor's degree, you can get a master's degree while you're in prison. There are a lot of opportunities for people who are incarcerated to take advantage of. The problem is that sometimes life gives us more than what we can handle, and that usually when an individual goes to prison, they're broken. And then when they're in prison, they become even more broken. So before you can start taking advantage of opportunity, you have to fix that what's inside you. And prison is not conducive to repairing or fixing anything. So there's this disconnect in when an individual arrives to what an individual is supposed to do while they're there, and then as they matriculate back into society. And, you know, to marry with what Mark just said, right, in regards to the crimeless revocation situation, that is so devastating because one third of all new inmates who are going into the prison system are due to crimeless revocations. And they get there and, you know, you go to jail just long enough to lose everything that you've accumulated, right, and accomplished. Then you go to prison. So now your mind is all messed up. Who has time to go think about getting an associate's degree? Who has time to go think about getting a job that will help you provide for your family? Who wants to go and sit in front of a psychological services unit or a therapist who you do not trust because of a system that has beat you down and beat you down? So, you know, there's a couple of things, Mr. Ingram, that you touched on. Yes, there are these opportunities there, but the people who are in prison oftentimes are not in a position mentally, emotionally, psychologically to take advantage of those opportunities. And there is where we need to try and target our solutions.
So let's talk about, and Mark, you can chime in on this. Let's talk about the fact that, say, I've been in prison for 5 years, and I've got two or three children. Certainly, child support is something that's not waived once you're in prison, I don't think. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. And you get out, and you may get a job. You know, it's not going to be a job paying a whole lot of money, but you may get that. You owe back child support. They're going to come after that, right? I mean, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was a paralegal in prison, and this is what I was talking about just a few seconds ago. When you go to prison, depending upon what county you come from, specifically Milwaukee County, let's talk about that county. It's Dumler versus Richardson. That is the case, and it is a very easy motion to file, and that motion will suspend your child support.
While you are in prison,
the first day you get there, you can file that motion and they will suspend your child support. And Additional to that, right, depending upon what county you are, you can have your child support set at the income that you're earning while you are incarcerated. So if your pay is 50 cents an hour or whatever, you would pay 17% of the 50 cents per hour. So you have this capability while you are in prison. Again, sir, people don't know this. So they get to prison and then they run up or accrue these huge child support debts. I remember taking a case from a guy who had $110,000 child support debt, and he had no idea that he had been in for 20 years. He had no idea that he could have petitioned the court in Milwaukee County to have his child support suspended.
But you're talking legalese. Only other people with legal backgrounds understand that. What, you know, it's great to have the laws, but if people don't understand that that exists, I mean, how else would they know? The majority of the people who go to prison don't know that.
I fully agree with you 110%, sir. You know, one of the things that used to frustrate me so much is when I was a law library clerk, individuals, well, this is how it first started for me. Before I knew anything about the law, I walked in there and I asked the law library clerk, you know, what do I do? And he wanted to charge me $5 to give me some just basic knowledge, two packs of cigarettes and whatever it was, however much it was. And I was like, no, I'm not paying you $5 for this, right? And the reality is that that's what you get when you go into a prison system. There's nobody to train you, nobody to educate you. There's no edification there whatsoever. So you are completely correct that, you know, the law is complicated, sir.
Yes.
Most people have no idea that they have all these resources and opportunities that are available to them. And that's what I wanted to communicate to you earlier when we were talking. Yeah, these things are there, but you're proceeding as though they're not. So as a result, you don't take advantage of them, so they might as well not be there.
Mark?
Sharon makes a great point. We definitely want to make sure that this stays factual, and I can speak about my own experience in the system about some of the programs that were beneficial to me. For example, I had a chance to meet with a psychiatrist and was officially diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia while I was in prison. I had no idea what that was or that that's a condition that I was experiencing before.
Right.
That. And so I was able to move forward with treatment, get some medications that helped me to stabilize at that period of my life, continue to get treatment after I was released back into the community. So that was one positive. Another was I had the opportunity to take college courses for the first time when I was in prison. I got to learn basic Microsoft programs, Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel. Those programs, I learned skills that I was able to use once I got back into the community. I was also had access to the library where I was able to read a lot of social science books. I was in a maximum security prison for a lot of the time, so I was locked down almost all day in my cell, so had a lot of time to read political science books, sociology books, and was inspired to continue on with my education after I got out, went into the liberal studies program at MATC in Madison, and eventually went on and got a bachelor's degree, two master's degree, and now I'm a doctoral candidate at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee.
Congratulations.
Studies. But it's also, to back to the point about the debt that people have, we have to really invest in those types of advanced educational opportunities for people in prison. The Bar Prison Initiative, for example, has had great success in New York. They were able to continue with that program even after Pell Grant eligibility was cut for people who were incarcerated in 1994 due to the 94 crime bill. And for people who go on to get a bachelor's degree in that program, and it's in liberal studies too, not just technical fields, but for people that go through that program, only 2% of people who graduate return back to prison. So that's one of the best investments we can make, is to make sure that people go through, get the bachelor's degree, a master's degree, because we see people rarely return to prison when they have those skills and are able to get these higher paying jobs. Then people can stay out and contribute to building safer, stronger, healthier communities. So that's a crucial investment. And let's make those investments up front, not wait until people get into the prison system. Imagine if we started investing and making sure, creating a pipeline to college before people ever get into the prison system, and putting that in up front, making those investments. That's how we really change things and start to reimagine how we're doing this, instead of waiting till the back end and when all the harm and trauma has already been caused. Let's work on prevention up front.
So, gentlemen, if you guys will hang on, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guests are Mr. Sharon Bowie and Mr. Mark Rice. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.